Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
It's so close to where we are. We see the fallout from Glastonbury quite quickly, don't you? Mm. So if you get on a train on like the Monday from Bath, you are just surrounded by like misery.
Corpses.
And stink.
Yeah.
And awful.
It's the Walking
people
Dead.
Just go, oh, I want to go.
Classic combo. Rained all the way up to the festival and then scorchio for the actual weekend. Ooh. So he wore wellies on the first day because it was so muddy. And then he had to spend the rest of the summer with a horrible welly tan. It looked the most ridiculous I've ever seen. Doug gets ridiculous tan. He actually yesterday even just sitting, last night, I was like, what's going on with your knees, mate? Because they were bright red, but only on the sort of insides. I've never met a more white boy. I feel like you would have loved a festival back in the day, though. Did you love a festival back in the day?
No.
Welcome to episode 146 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she is your other host, Holly Taylor. This episode is brought to you by the triple whammy that is hot running, half-term juggling, and booze. Make sure you listen right to the end because we have a huge announcement for the Pod Squad, more of which in a sec. Back to the sunshine. We talk about sunscreen and sweat and finding the elusive sunblock that doesn't sting. We also talk about dehydration in the heat and how to prevent that, which brings us neatly to our next point. We talk about managing moderate drinking and training and how that's tricky, especially in the summer when you may have more social engagements. We also chat about the effect that booze can have on our health and our lifestyles and also on our running. We also touch on running and anxiety and depression and that link between alcohol and our mental health. I then have a small whinge about running and juggling time as it's half term and it is hard to do those things. I cope a little bit by planning ahead and putting timed slots in my diary. That's just one way of doing it. There are others. Also, as Holly says, you don't have to run. Lastly, we have a big announcement. We want you to come and run with us at the London Vitality 10,000 this year on Sunday, September 24th. We want you to come and run with us, and we have our very own Women's Running Wave, which means we can all run together and there's enough space for everyone. There'll be a special meet and greet area just for us in the park, so we'll be able to chat with you before and after the run, and we can all celebrate together. There's a special link in the show notes to sign up, and we'll be popping it up on Facebook and Instagram as well. We can't wait to run with you.
Okay, shall we start recording?
Let's start.
How was your weekend? We both have run this weekend.
We have indeed. Yeah. Weekend was lovely. I mean, we've had amazing weather, haven't we?
It's been so lush.
It's been really lovely. Yeah. So it's been nice, been hanging out with the kids, did my 5K, which we were trying to suggest that
we, as a sort of last minute thing, it was World Hunger Day on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And we were quickly trying to kind of persuade as many of you as possible and remind ourselves to run 5K and donate £5 to the Trussell Trust.
There's still time if anybody would like to. I think I popped the link to donate on a story on Sunday on our Instagram, which maybe isn't the best place because that disappears. So maybe I'll whack it in the link in our bio or something. And there's still time if you want to run 5K and donate £5 or just donate because you're a lovely, lovely person.
Yeah, you don't have to exert yourself. But yeah, I did do my 5K and it was such a nice run. Such a nice run. We had such lovely weather.
Yeah.
And the only thing that made it less than perfect for me is that kind of it was just life rather than the kind of run itself. But what was really nice for me, and it's only because, like, you know, like, it's basically because Dave's got so much work on that even taking half an hour out to do that at the moment,
it's
when the kids are at home,
manic in the Newman household, hasn't it?
Fuck, it's been so manic. So it's been really hard work. And we're now firmly in half term. So that's kind of, well, we can talk about the juggle.
Let's come on to the juggle in a bit. I was just going to quickly do a note about, because we said we were going to talk about this and I don't think we really did last week. But running in the heat, because I've only ever done... I've done a March half and then I did do an October one once, but on the whole, I've done like spring half marathons, which has meant that the majority of the training, that whenever I do run in the heat, I'm just not used to it really. And it hasn't been that hot in the UK yet this year, really. And so running 5K on a warm Sunday was quite intense and is not my favorite. I do prefer running in winter, obviously not when it's absolutely freeze your nipples off cold, but I like a little bit of a breeze, and that was lacking on Sunday. It was quite still, wasn't it? I think Monday would have probably been a better day to do it on because it was a bit more of a breeze. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wanted to pick your brains about tips for running. I did wear my sun cream after lecturing everybody the other week. I did wear my sun cream
for my run. Good girl.
Though I did spot that there was some chat on our Pod Squad Discord, which you can join if you join us on Patreon, about sun cream that doesn't sting. And mine didn't sting because often it can run into your eyes. Oh. And it was, I just wanted to give this advice to everybody. It was so it's a La Roche-Posay one, which can be a little bit on the pricey side, can't they? But that one didn't sting at all. It just kind of stayed put. It's a bit weird to put on because it's kind of matte, which makes you look a bit strange, but it kind of it stays put. It's not a sort of shiny one. So maybe worth going for ones that aren't sort of too runny. Like, you want one that's a bit of a kind of almost foundation-like in texture, that sticks a bit.
Yeah,
if that works for you. But that worked for me. That didn't run. But I just did find, generally, I find myself getting way more dehydrated way more quickly, and just sweaty and red and hot.
Yeah, it does. It takes a long time for the redness to go down, doesn't it?
It really does. Really, really, really quite alarming sometimes.
Yeah, it can be. I don't think enter into the sunscreen chat because I can't remember any of the names of the sunscreens that I use. I know at the moment I am just using a moisturizer that's got a factor 30 in it.
I think that's probably all good, right? Mine's a factor.
It's probably okay.
I can't remember what it is, but it can't be more than 30.
It's factor. I would prefer to use... I do have a couple of sunscreens that are factor... For facial sunscreens that are factor 50. I think my big thing would be to stick to one that's definitely for face. Mm-hmm. And I go for a sensitive skin one normally. But if you go for factor 50 and you go for sensitive skin, what you then end up with is kind of white paste on your face.
Yes.
So you just have to be a bit careful.
Yes, very
with that.
True. I think maybe we should do a little sort of, we could do a little roundup thing of the best sun creams for running in. But, and we'll actually try and remember what it is that we
try and remember what they
that,
are
that yeah. we wear.
Yeah. But yeah, so I do that. But I mean, obviously, I think another thing that can really, really help is actually wearing a hat.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that can really help. But yeah, I think, and also it's so personal because some people prefer running in the cold, some people prefer running in the heat. And because I hate the cold so much, I would always prefer running in hot weather. Mm. But all the things you said are absolutely true. So I think, I can't believe we're getting onto the run chat so early in the podcast.
I know. Oh my goodness. You're listening to the Women's Running Podcast and we're actually talking about running.
Shit. But I think, although people have taken the piss out of me, I am mentioning no names, for wearing a hydration pack on things like a 10K.
Well, that was what I thought. I didn't wear a hydration pack for a 5K because I was like, I'll look like a right knobhead. But... I should have done.
Who
and
knows?
Also, no one knows.
Should have done.
No one who's no watching one you run past knows that you're running 5K, do they? They might think, oh.
Exactly.
Look at her go on her 13 miler this morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So I agree. So the longest run that I would normally do on a normal kind of temperature day without hydration pack is I might go to about 6 miles. So I might go to 10K. I've definitely done 10. Sort of 10, 11K without any kind of water. But that's when it's more like 10 degrees, 11 mm-hmm. degrees. Now there's no way I could do that. So the longest run I've done in recent weeks is probably about 4 miles. And I found that quite hard by the end to not have any kind of water.
Yeah,
stuff,
so. I'm with you. That's sort of the longest that I've been running at the moment as well. And I think maybe I just need to learn from that over summer, the rules change a little bit and I'm going to need a hydration vest.
Rules do change.
I've got a gorgeous hydration vest and I feel very spoilt about this. But because we've had the product awards, and if you sensed fear come into my soul, then it's because I looked at the calendar and realized how long we have left to review all these products. Ha ha ha. Anyway, it's all fine. I've got it's from a company called Harriers, which makes me feel like a Harrier when I wear it.
They are wonderful. They're so good.
Oh my gosh, I love it. So it's the first time that I've had a hydration vest that I actually really feel like isn't going to chafe me. It also came with a little buff.
Oh.
I know. So it's just, they've thought of everything. They've really thought of everything. It's brilliant. It's got enough, but it's not. Because the only other thing I had before was like a big old 30 liter thing. That sounds loads. Did I make that up? I think the backpack is 30 liters. So if you wanted to fill it entirely with water, I guess you could, but it might be slopping around because it's not got 30 liters worth of little water sacks in it. But this one is a much smaller, just like light little hydration vest, and I'm really, really excited about it. I've only like worn it around the house because I haven't been on a run long enough that I thought it would be it would be appropriate for. But I'm going to go for it on my next run, and I'm really excited about it. But it's super soft.
You should
super soft, so I'm not nervous about chafing with it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I do love that. I love my Harrier.
You've got a Harrier one too.
What?
Yeah, I know. I feel a bit like
I do have a Harrier one
that we're talking about, like running and sport so
I know,
much.
It feels really weird. I thought what. Why are we doing that? It's so strange.
Oh, dear.
How was your weekend?
Yeah, should we get on to a bit of that? I'm sure there'll be more run chat to come. But
there will be, because I've got a list. You know me.
Esther has a list. And I've got a few sort of chaotic ideas bouncing around in my little skull. But my weekend was lush. It was so nice. It's just so gorgeous when the weather is nice. And I'm just a little outdoor bean. I feel like I've grown up in, because when I was growing up, we lived in a house that had lots of French windows, and we used to laugh about it because there were so many. I think we counted once that whoever designed the house, there was like a French window thing in almost every room. It was really strange, but it was so lush because we lived in the Brecon Beacons, and you could just open your little window and fling yourself outside, and it was just green and grass, and you could see the mountains, and it was so lovely. And I feel like that's always been my heart. Like I just feel better being outside, and I would rather, and I live in a small flat on a top floor, so I really, really miss the sort of outside inside thing of just being able mm-hmm. to sort of put your Crocs on, your metaphorical Crocs on, and just be in the garden without even thinking about it. But so we just spent the majority of the weekend. We haven't got obviously that same luxury anymore of having a garden, but we have got a golf course right next to us that that we just basically spent the whole weekend on there, and it was so nice. Really lovely.
Yeah, and a golf course makes it sound like a golf course. Oh, and I know does, there is yes, a golf course element, correct. But it's so lovely because it's on a hill.
Yeah.
And if you climb all the way
to the top
of
the hill, it's worth it. Oh, it's
yeah.
Yeah, it's not so nice. It's not a golf course. Like, it's not like you're going to get smacked in the bonce by Tiger Woods. It's like, I imagine people play golf there sometimes, but it's not really, it's mainly just used for like walking your dogs and underage drinking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The classic.
The British staples. So we did we got picnic stuff and water and our books and a picnic blanket. Aww. So we could basically just go and be there all day. And it was really lush. That was what we did yesterday.
Nice.
And Saturday I went to go and see my sister. We had a little wander around Cabot Circus. It was her birthday, so I wanted to buy her some new bronzer and foundation and bits. It was just a sort of like poodle about. But I forgot that it was Love Saves the Day Festival, which is a huge festival in Bristol. Oh, Esther is also looking surprised. So I will give context. It's a big festival in Bristol, and it's quite like, it's a dancey festival, I think. So like dance music, trance music, techno.
Oh
beats.
God, this so potentially this is why it's not been on my radar.
Yes, and also why I like can't tell you anything about what's going on there. But it was wild because I was on a train at 11 o'clock in the morning to go and meet my sister. There was a small corner of us, me, a guy who was going to the festival, but he either wasn't drinking or he hadn't started drinking yet. And then a small family. And we were just sort of like huddled for safety in a corner of this carriage, while the rest of the carriage was absolutely off their nut. Everybody was so wasted at 11 o'clock in the morning. And it was,
oh my God.
A part of my heart was like, absolutely go for it. This looks so fun. I'm so happy for you guys. It's obviously all students who've finished their exams and stuff. And
they were
just having the time of their lives. But on the other hand, don't even know if I can say this on the podcast, but I did. There were some people who were really letting the side down, and one bloke who kept bumping into everybody and going sorry, and then he'd like tap his friend and be like, Mark, say sorry, because they were just kind of like bumping into everyone along the carriage and didn't know what they were doing. They weren't just drinking, put it that way, and they weren't being very subtle about it. it was oh far God. From ideal.
God, it just makes me feel quite sick.
I know. 11 o'clock in the morning as well. Yeah. 11 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, it's a bit like, you know, like when you go on a flight and you see everyone sort of tucking into their second pint of the day at 7 o'clock in the morning because they've gone, you know, because it's, you know, there are no timelines or whatever when you're in an airport. Mm-hmm. And that always makes me feel really, really unwell.
Yeah. I do get you. I don't know whether I've ever partaken in a pint at 7 o'clock in the morning, but Doug definitely has. Doug's been one of those people. I remember him and my dad once when we were going on a family holiday being like, oh, what else are we gonna do? And so me and my mum and my sister all got a smoothie or something and they just went and got a pint. But I'm sure they regretted it, you know, a few hours later when they were sort of sleepy on the flight or whatever. And
that's the thing. Yeah. If you can't continue and you just have to,
then you're going to get your hangover. Well, that's what I was thinking about all these people, because I thought if you've sort of pre-drunk to that extent, then how much have you got to like keep that up throughout the day? And that's going to be very expensive in a festival ground, because otherwise you're just going to hit, like if you're that pissed at 11 o'clock in the morning, then you're going to hit a wall that you're not going to want to hit. at,
yeah,
you know, at 3, like, yeah, like afternoon, yeah. And then you're going to be, yeah, like, oh, I really wish I was at home now rather than the middle of a stonking hot field.
Yeah, with horrible loos.
With horrible loos, yeah, and just a constant
you're just going to be like, what am I doing? Why have I done this? Why have I paid 200 quid to do this as well?
I just can't imagine anything more hellish.
No.
Like all of that together. I'm the wrong demographic.
I think you would find it all very hellish. Camping as well, Esther, everything if you go to a festival. I don't think that one is a camping one, but... I feel like you would have loved a festival back in the day, though. Did you love a festival back in the day?
No.
No.
I did a few. Mm-hmm. I never did Glasto, but I did, which is weird.
It's so hard, though, isn't it? To, yeah.
No, because it's so close to where we are that we see the fallout from Glastonbury quite quickly, don't you? Mm. So if you get on a train on like the Monday from Bath, if you get on any train at all, you are just surrounded by like misery,
corpses,
and stink.
Yeah,
and awful.
It's the Walking
people
Dead.
Just go, oh, I want to go. Yeah, it's horrible. And I've been burnt too much by looking at kind of, you know, TV reports and seeing people kind of squelching around in the mud and all that. Yeah. Just sounds
and
so, like,
getting burnt.
Shit,
Doug
to
went
me.
To Glastonbury a few years ago.
Oh yeah,
and it was so it had classic combo, rained all the way up to the festival and then scorchio for the actual weekend. Ooh. So he wore wellies on the first day because it was so muddy, and then he had to spend the rest of the summer with a horrible welly tan. It looked the most ridiculous I've ever seen.
That's great.
Doug gets ridiculous tan. He actually yesterday, even just sitting last night, I was like, what's going on with your knees, mate? Because they were bright red, but only on the sort of insides. And I was like, well, have you hit your knees? Or I was like, have my jokes been so good? He's just been slapping his knees all day. And then it turned out that we'd been sitting outside and he'd been cross-legged. And so his knees had burnt just on the inside.
On the inside.
I've never met a more white boy in all of my life.
You've not spent a huge amount of time with Dave, though.
Oh,
have you?
And are they going to be the, you know, the beetroot brothers over summer?
he is awful. And happily, I mean, together we are both very, very high burn.
Mm.
But he is way more high burn than me. Way more high burn than me.
Sorry, did you hear that?
Was it your doorbell?
I took my Garmin off earlier because I had a shower and I forgot to put it back on. I've just heard it go because obviously it's crossed with me. It sounded like my doorbell. Anyway, sorry, carry on. That really gave me a horrible shock.
That is not what Garmins are supposed to do, is
no.
it?
No.
Not supposed to scare the shit
no,
out of
No, really terrified me then. Oh, I'll put you back on in a minute, all right? God. So burn,
yes. Anyway, yeah.
Tan, all of that
burn,
stuff.
Burn, yeah.
Stay safe out there. But
do stay safe
actually,
out there.
That
does
bring us on to an interesting segue, doesn't it? Because we, speaking of getting incredibly drunk at festivals, we were going to talk about booze and running.
Yes, we were.
I've also got another bit of a segue, which is that tonight, I haven't told you this, all I've done is requested tomorrow morning off. I haven't told you why. I presumed you assumed it was for a hangover.
I did.
Yes, it is. I'm actually quite nervous because I don't want to get, I want to be a bit kept because it does feel a bit weird doing it on a school night. So even though I've got the morning off, I'm a bit nervous about it. But I'm going with a friend to Bingo Lingo. Have you heard of Bingo Lingo?
Of course I haven't. What the fuck
it's
is that?
It's basically just a giant sort of bingo drinking game. And it's in Comedia and I'm really nervous about it, but I'm really excited. So we're going for her birthday.
That actually sounds really good.
I'd love to tell you about it. Yeah, I think it's much more up my street in terms of getting drunk than just like going to a club and dancing. I'm so happy that we're doing it because I think it'll be a much more natural thing rather than everybody sort of going, right, okay, we've got to get on it and get drunk, otherwise we're not going to enjoy standing in this club with instead it's just like games. But they do, I think, maybe sometimes bring you on stage, which I'm a bit scared about.
That's fun.
When I've seen pictures of people doing it, they sometimes sort of bring people on stage to do silly games, like you've got to come on stage and like I don't know, dance around with an inflatable flamingo or something. So I will be sitting very near the back.
Oh, God.
Just in case. But I'll let you know all about it.
I want pictures.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'll tell you all. But it's a bit of a last minute plan. So I hadn't told Esther officially what was happening. I was excited to tell you all about that. So boozy bingo, that's what I'm doing tonight. However, that leads more, it sort of continues to lead into the segue, because I feel like, how are you supposed to cope with summer and how fucking boozy summer is? I swear there's something happening every day. I feel like I'm in Freshers Week at the moment and I'm exhausted. And it's impossible to keep up an exercise routine because it's really hard to convince yourself to go running if you've been on the lash the night before. And it also just generally for sort of health, I'm like, I felt really good about my, not necessarily great about my health, because I had some sort of slight wobbles with my post-COVID sinus issues, my sinuses. But I think about my choices, I was feeling really good at the beginning of the year and I wasn't really drinking very much. And now, I mean, I don't know about you, but all of that goes out the window when you have 3 bank holidays in a month, the sun is shining. And true. British people, we are just, something happens to us when the sun comes out. We're feral.
Oh, it is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's never sunny. Absolutely. When it suddenly is, people just start injecting like dark fruit cider straight into their veins.
Oh my God, the cider.
Yeah.
We're in the wrong part of the world as well.
I know.
I mean, coming from someone that's never drunk cider since the age of 14, I just, but anyway, I think it's a really important thing to talk about because firstly, you've got the kind of the aspect of like running and booze and hangovers and
the immediate
and
effect.
Dehydration.
Yeah.
Kind of like how you manage it. Like when I'm sure I can't be alone in mostly doing my longer run on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And when I'm training for something specifically, like, you know, if I'm training for a marathon, then I'll be more religious about
having none or maybe one. Yeah.
Usually not drinking the night before. But just day to day, not training for something, then I do want to have a drink on a Saturday night. But it's kind of managing the drinking and the running and the dehydration and whether you should or shouldn't. That's kind of one bit of it, isn't it? But then I think the other bit is, like you said, it's drinking, it's booze generally and
the effect that it has on
and healthy
health.
Lifestyles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I just feel it's obviously undeniable that, like, you know, that has an effect on your body and it gives me a little bit of a tummy, which I don't mind and I love. And I'm stroking it right now to show it. I love it. But, you know, that's all a bit tough sometimes, isn't it? Some of that self-love stuff when you feel a bit crap about yourself.
Self-love is tough, yeah.
And also just genuinely, if you've got, like, when you're sort of running around and you can sort of almost feel your booze, you're sort of carrying it around from the night before, it doesn't make you feel hugely kind of zippy, does it?
Not really, no. And then, I mean, and on top of that, obviously we know that there's going to be like the outward physical signs of drinking booze and maybe drinking booze a little bit too much.
Yeah.
So that might be, weight gain, but that's also going to be a skin. You know, it could be that the way that we look in a more kind of aesthetic way, but also it's down to how we feel, isn't it? So like we were talking about this last week and both of us have experience of life with people who drink a little bit too much and the depression that can lead from that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The roller coaster, the kind of that awful hamster wheel of drink and depression and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So that we've got that as well.
And anxiety, I find. Like, that's one of the first things that needs to go when I'm anxious. And I think that's why I've been really struggling with anxiety for the past few weeks is because I think it's a combination. Part of it is, you know, kind of unavoidable. Like, I don't want to put my life on hold and not do things, but I'm always conscious that when I'm busy, I tend to get into busy mode. And then gearing down again, I find really difficult. So like, even if I'm sitting, relaxing, watching TV, I'll still be going, and I've got to think about this. And my breathing will be going boom, 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 because I find it hard to power down.
Yeah.
But the other thing has definitely been that I've had for the past few weekends, we've had a bank holiday every single, well, apart from two, we've had a bank holiday almost every weekend in May. And I had a boozy girls' weekend away with my friends from home. And I had a boozy hen do that I went on. And it's like, it's really difficult trying to juggle, isn't it? Like, what will affect my mental health and make me feel rubbish? And what will make me feel like I'm not able to join in, or that I'm missing out, or that I'm feeling a bit sad? It would be great to hear from someone who is sober, because that's my biggest fear. Like, even during the first kind of quarter of the year where I wasn't really drinking at all, it's the bit that I found most difficult. I was absolutely fine when I was on my own at home, obviously. It was the bit that was really difficult was like going out with friends and being like, oh, I'll have a sort of watery lime thing that's supposed to be like a virgin margarita or something that feels a bit shit while everyone else is having a great time. It's really hard to juggle all of that, basically, isn't it?
Super hard. And I think that was one thing I will try and have a chat with Susie Shaw, who's been on, she's been on before.
Yeah, listen to her episode, because she does talk about this stuff quite a bit.
Yeah. So she's doing loads of stuff on Instagram. Well, she's just done a huge ultra marathon challenge. So she's massively got into her running. And I think as a direct consequence of giving up the booze, because she started getting interested in fitness and wellness and all that sort of thing. And she's, I think, at pains to sort of say that she never saw herself as being addicted to booze, and never saw herself as an alcoholic. But she did realize that there was an issue, that it was impacting her life quite severely. And so she decided, I think she gave herself quite a kind of a more manageable goal. It wasn't give up booze forever. It was for an amount of time. And then she's just carried on. I think she's been sober now for maybe 4 or 5 years.
That's amazing.
So it would be,
I'm definitely,
yeah, it is amazing. Sort of, it is amazing.
I've seen people describe it before as like sober curious. I think I'm definitely sober curious. Yeah. And I enjoy having periods of time where I don't drink at all, because like I really enjoyed it at the beginning of the year. And like, I mean, for some people, like I come from quite a boozy, like I feel like my family culture is a bit boozy. I hope my family aren't listening to this and thinking, oh my God, what a bitch. I can't believe she's calling us out. But we do love a glass of wine in the Taylor household. It's no secret. And same with my friends and stuff. I think we do like going out, and I mean, not really anymore, but like it's a part of life. And so I'm sure some people don't think that it is a huge deal. For me at the beginning of the year, where I was like, right, I think I allowed myself to drink on Fridays or Saturdays or something. And I think, but it is like, it's a huge deal, because a lot of how I hang out with my friends and stuff is like, oh, should we go down the pub? And to sit there and drink a Coke or something while everybody else
it's
was
massive.
Having a beer, it was a really big deal to me. And I was like, how am I going to do this? Like, I'm not only am I very, very easily swayed, I'm also the biggest bad influence in the world with that stuff. Like, whenever Esther and I, you know, might miss a train, I'm like, oh dear, well, why don't we just miss it and go to the pub? Like, I'm really, really, I find it, I'm very, very immediate joy now, worry about it later person.
But
I really enjoy having those periods, because it makes me feel like, as somebody who struggles with anxiety, it really, really helps me like take back control. It makes me go, and especially because, as Esther said, like we've both got experiences in the past of living with or being close to people who have had alcohol addiction issues, I have quite a skewed view of that stuff in my brain sometimes. And I think I can feel really, really panicky if I've had a few days in a row of like having some boozy nights or whatever, then I start to associate that with things and get panicky. And just giving yourself some, you know, time off where you're like, I'm not touching it right now. Then it really helps me to feel like I'm kind of taking back control. I hate that phrase, because it sounds like I'm talking about Brexit, but you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, because and you know what I'm like. I love the control word, and I hate that it's been reclaimed for something else. But I realized probably much later than you all the stuff that you're realizing now. And like I've always had what I considered to be sort of slightly an addictive personality.
Oh yeah, big time. You know, same.
I was a heavy smoker.
I was kind of, you know, I've dabbled with most, you know, the binge eating, the smoking, but also definitely the drinking. And I did come from a drinky household. So it was seen as quite normal to turn up at like an event or whatever and drink loads and loads and loads.
Yeah,
that's same. What I would do. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, the big tip for me was kids, because although I think I still drank, I definitely still drank way more then than I do now when I first had the children, because, you know, whatever to get through, frankly. But you soon realize that the most important thing in your life, other than your kids, is sleep.
Yeah.
And the thing that's impacting your sleep are the kids and also the booze. Mm. And so, like, my big thing that I needed to, it took a few years of having the kids for me to make that connection and to suddenly think, do you know what? On the days where I haven't had a drink the night before, I'm a much happier person. I'm, you know, I can cope with the kids better. I've clearly had a better night's sleep. It's kind of, it's joining all those dots kind of thing. So I think that's one of the things. But then also, yeah, it's about control. So for me, I also worry that all of my little controlly bits is putting myself into such a box where I do think that if one small movement will make everything fall apart. So even standing next to someone that smokes, I think for some reason is going to, even though I've not smoked for like close to 20 years, I still think that it would tip me over into the dark side somehow. And so my little controlling thing is now that I only allow myself to drink on a Friday and a Saturday. Mm. And even then, it's a very, very small amount. It usually equates to about a glass each night. I will drink during the week, but only if I've been, if I'm going out with a friend.
Yeah.
That
was what mine loosened to first. And then... Mm. That's just what the struggle has been.
I mean, but I rarely do it, because that's usually about once a month. There's been so many things. Yeah, I know. It's so hard. And it is lovely speaking to people that have reduced their alcohol, not necessarily because they consider themselves addicted or whatever, but reduced their alcohol substantially. And the knock-on positive benefit to sleep, which then also obviously will lead into mental health, basically.
Yeah.
Much better. You're much more able to cope, aren't you? If you're getting your sleep. Sleep, for me, everything stems down to sleep.
Yeah,
so,
I find sorting that. It's like thought spirals that, like, it's really easy when you're overthinking things to be like, oh, I'll have a glass of wine and that will really calm me down. But I find that, like, the difficult balance is that I find it, if I do end up in a sort of anxiety thought spiral, then if I haven't had a drink, it's a lot easier to get out of that than if I have, because my sober mind is a lot better at dealing with that stuff. And because a lot of it revolves around health, and I think actually also realizing, basically, as I'm talking to you, I think because of my childhood a bit, like addiction and stuff like that, that really impacts on a lot of my thoughts around anxiety and makes me feel guilty about lots of behaviors and lots of things in life, that it really helps to be sober sometimes to get myself out of those thought spirals. Whereas if I've had a drink, my mind will start playing more tricks on me about the fact that I'm a piece of shit, basically.
I think that's so fucking amazing, because I just don't, without wanting to come across as being massively patronizing, I just don't think that I made those realizations until I was like so much older than you are now.
Mm.
And certainly not in my 20s. In my 20s, I was just like, get it down me. You know,
Esther, I'm having these realizations. I think I'm quite self-aware about it, but I'm literally going to something called Bingo Lingo later.
If you love this podcast, and of course you do, then there are two ways to enjoy more of it. First,
ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's this amazing thing called Women's Running Magazine. If you want more silly Holly and Esther chat, it's in there. And if you also want brilliant expert advice that will make you run better, it's also in there. If you pop along to shop.womensrunning.co.uk, you can avoid the scrum in Waitrose, have it delivered every month, and save up to a third off the cover price. The other way you can get more Holly and Esther nonsense is by becoming part of our beloved pod squad on Patreon. From just £2 a month, you'll have access to our exclusive Discord chat room. There are free chats on Zoom with me and Hol, weekly newsletters and silly videos and all sorts. If you bump that up to a teensy-weensy £6 a month, you'll get extra exclusive podcasts too. Come and join us at Patreon, that's patreon.com/womensrunning. And one other last very small ask. We are fundraising for the Trussell Trust and we're asking you to donate whatever you can at justgiving.com/page/anthem-stop-hunger, because our publishing company Anthem will match what we donate up to £10,000. Please help however you can.
It doesn't mean it's so hard to act on it all, isn't it? But at least figuring out all of it is kind of the first step. And then you can make kind of allowances a bit more, can't you? Like I know, for example, I was a little bit, even though I'm so excited about it tonight, it was a bit of a last minute plan. And I lay awake last night a bit nervous because I was like, oh, I've drunk every day of this bank holiday. So that was like, that would have been four nights in a row because we had friends over on Friday, my sister here on Saturday, and we went out. Can't remember what was happening on Sunday, but definitely had a boozer as well. Not mega, but I think we had a couple of glasses of wine or whatever. And then went and met friends at the pub on Monday. So it was like chocker with drinking. And then I panicked. I was panicking when I was lying awake because I was like, I have been struggling with my anxiety a bit more over the last few weeks than I had before. And it's a fifth night in a row, a really, really bad idea. Like, I think what I probably need to do is, and I can be honest with myself and go, I think what I probably do need to do in a ideal world is have a bath, absolutely not touch any booze, have something nourishing for my dinner and get an early night and get some good sleep. And that will be what my brain would really like. However, I'm not going to let fear of doing everything right all the time stop me from enjoying a friend's birthday party that I'm looking forward to going to. And I would like to drink it because I don't have to. That's also, of course, another option. But I would like to have a few drinks because, you know, I think it will be a good laugh and it'll be fun. But at least I hope to be able to, that the self-awareness I hope will make me able to be like, but I really do need to factor that in for the rest of my week then. Like if I've had five nights on the bloody trot, then I'm going to need to be... Oh, do you hear that? My bloody doorbell. Anyway, I'm going to need to be sensible and make sure that I don't have a boozy weekend coming up and that I do look after myself and that over the next, you know, I have a sober rest of the week and I'm being careful with myself. Yeah. But I'm totally with you as well that even though I think I'm having realizations that maybe are just because I'd done a tiny bit more therapy than 20-year-old you had, probably, is the only reason. I'm still young, dumb, and full of wine.
Oh, that could have gone wrong, yeah.
That could have gone so wrong. I think it's the doing that's hard, but at least we can try by being more self-aware.
yeah, and I mean, you know, we never ever want to tell people to, like, as a podcast massive, we never want to tell people to stop doing things that they enjoy doing.
No,
if it's not damaging their health and their happiness, kind of thing. So, you know,
and all we can talk about is our own experiences. We can't talk about everyone
100%.
Else's.
100%. And those also fluctuate and change, don't they? There are times, totally. That, like the beginning of the year, I really was like, and you know how much I love a savvy bee, but I was like, I need to make sure that I'm cutting this down because it's got to a point where I feel like it's impacting my mental health a little bit and I don't want to do that anymore. And then over the last few weeks, I've been much more loose about it. And there have been some, downsides in terms of I have felt a little bit more anxiety, but also I've had some bloody great times with my friends that I'm absolutely not willing to compromise on or would take back. And I know you've had similar waves, Esther, where you've had times where it's
absolutely.
Like, it's time to dance on the tables. Yeah.
For sure, for sure. Definitely to rest.
Did you have your dance on the table, by the way, on Saturday?
No, we did. We did some singing to Foreigner, but we didn't dance on the table. But yeah,
I completely forgot to ask you about your boozy Saturday.
Definitely had a boozy Saturday. But I think, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I had dabbled with doing Dry January quite a lot. I'd done that, I think, 3 years on the trot before I started actually structurally getting my drinking down and putting some kind of limits and controls in place kind of thing. And I found that was really helpful because it's a way of, like, if you are sober curious, of like dipping your toe in and seeing how's that
it just
feel?
Shows you can do it. It's really hard and it just shows that you can really do hard. It like it makes you, it puts you out of your comfort zone where you have to go and have that, you know, meet your friends at the pub, but you just have great banter,
you have a
and a Coke. Yeah. And and it's like, I think that it just shows you that you can do it. And actually sleep was a big one for me. That like
sleep's massive.
I struggle to fall asleep a little bit sometimes. And I think sometimes I can use having a few glasses of wine as like, oh, that will really help me get off if I've been struggling for the last few days.
Yeah.
And I say get off to sleep. Different people got different methods of trying to get sleep, but I feel like that sometimes can be a thing that I'm like, and it really helps to learn that, like, to remind yourself that, like, no, if I'm because in your January you're bound to have a few nights where you're struggling to get to sleep, but showing yourself that you can do that, and you're going to sleep so much better for not having drunk and for pushing through it.
Is absolutely
a great thing.
The
as
quality
well.
Of that sleep afterwards is amazing.
The best.
And then by the end of those, it's incredible. And then by the end of those 30 days, you're like, I don't have spots around my chin. This is just me, obviously, but you know, I definitely I'm less spotty if I don't drink. My skin is clearer. You know, shiny eyes, bushy tail, that kind of stuff.
The
you
perfect
know, you sort of
squirrel.
Leap out. It's amazing. So that unfortunately, then you leave on January the 31st going, oh my God, I look amazing. Then you get shit faced on February the 1st or whatever. And then, you know,
I'm waiting for the breakout from for this last week because I felt like my skin was doing really well and I'd been pretty good for a while. And then, the last couple of weekends and then particularly this bank holiday weekend. It's just a bank holiday is such a killer, isn't it? Because it's like,
it is a killer.
You've got an extra excuse for a drink on a Sunday night.
Yeah, and you do. You absolutely do.
I even drank on Monday yesterday because I was like, we were like, oh, well, it's bank holiday, isn't it? It'd be a shame not to go and have a pint in the pub garden and the bloody sun. Anyway.
All of
those things. And I think it is good to normalize that, like, I find it useful to hear people talk about it sometimes because I think if you have come from any experiences where you've known or lived with an alcoholic or whatever, then it is really, a lot of that stuff is really confusing and can maybe sometimes make you think it normalizes certain behaviors that can make you go down paths that might be a bit dangerous. And equally at the same time, it can make you hypersensitive and hyper aware of behaviors that can give you a lot of anxiety around them. And I think that I've suffered with both of those things in the past that have meant I've done extreme ends of both of the spectrum a bit of drinking. But I think hearing people talk about the fact that, like, you know, it's really tempting to have a good old pint in the sun, and sometimes that's a really lovely thing to do, but also that sometimes that can have a bit of an impact on feeling a bit rubbish, and like that it's okay to choose not to do that as well. It's really helpful chat to hear.
Exactly. And I think, because the other thing that I was just going to quickly touch on, kind of bringing it back to the running, is that I read a piece some time ago which was talking about drinking and running and how you manage and what you do. And one of the bits of advice in this was something like, it was kind of suggesting that were you to get an invite to something big like a wedding, and it was in your last few weeks before running a marathon, that you should say no to the wedding invite. You should just turn them down. And I remember reading that and thinking, what the actual fuck? What's wrong with you people?
Go and don't drink. Or let's also be honest.
Go and don't drink.
I'm not a scientist, but is like going and having like, you know, a few glasses of Prosecco at somebody's wedding 3 weeks before a marathon really going to impact your marathon time?
I think it totally depends on the runner that you are.
Maybe.
I don't think
that would make any difference to my like.
I don't think
sub 5 hour goals. You're somebody who's trying to run 2:36 or whatever, then. But yeah.
I mean, it's not what the impact that I think that this particularly was talking about was not necessarily about the end goal of the marathon, but was talking about the long run the following day. And what I don't get, like when I've done training plans for myself before, that if I do have big events or if there's holidays or if there's something,
you just move the long run.
The whole point of that training plan is to shift things around. And I think, I mean, coming from a position of privilege where, you know, we largely work from home. Mm. And I know that not everyone does that so much anymore. It's quite old-fashioned, isn't it?
We're quite lucky that we can do a. I have definitely done a. If I've had a busy weekend, or again a weekend where I've been like, well, I really want to drink. I remember when we were training for the Bath Half, I had a weekend where it was my anniversary with Doug, and we had plans on both the Friday and Saturday nights, and I really, really wanted wine at those on those occasions. So I think I did my long run on a Friday lunchtime or a Monday lunchtime or something, and like I know we're lucky to be able to do that. But also, you can schedule it in. I think I took half a day off to do that run.
Totally.
Yeah.
You can totally schedule it. And also, I think the other thing about that piece of advice was the thing that we've just sort of said, which was like it normalized the fact that everybody in the whole world who was training for a marathon would go to a wedding and drink. It wasn't suggesting that at any point that you could go to an event and enjoy yourself and have a lovely time. Without drinking.
100%. Like, which is so,
so weird.
So true as well. I think that was actually what really shook me from the, having a few more instances over the last 6 months than I had probably done for quite a long time where I wasn't drinking, but friends were, because usually I'm the one who's like, oh, but I was the sober one on these occasions. And it's still very enjoyable.
Yeah,
like it's great.
Exactly.
Fun.
Actually,
I think gets more fun when people around you start to get a bit drunk because it kind of makes you feel.
Yeah, like you feed off it.
You feed off it, and you're like, oh, nothing. I really, you know, it lowers your inhibitions a bit because it's like, well, I can say some silly thing. I can make an awful, you know, silly, embarrassing joke or tell a hilarious mishap right now, and no one's gonna.
Yeah.
You know, people are gonna be. Not. I've really fluffed what I was going to say there. We're in that whole train of thought.
No, but I know what you mean.
Professional broadcasters.
But I know exactly what you mean. And the thing is you can go along to these, you can go along to any wedding that you like and not drink. Or you can go along and have one or two. But, you know, you don't have to. It's not all or nothing. You don't have to go and get utterly shit-faced. Or not go.
No.
Those are not the only two options.
I know. That's a lot of people's drinking experience, isn't it? Because, like, that is a thing that basically since I've had anxiety, I had a horrendous hangover. It was actually, I've told the story on the podcast before. I was on my way to my niece's first birthday party and I was being sick in a bucket on the M25 on the way. And it was awful, far from ideal. Mm. And the worst part of that was that I had the worst anxiety I've ever had in my life. It was rough. It was like 3 days of just like horrible jitters, feeling crap about myself. It was awful. And since then, I've been really, really scared to be like I'll be hungover in a sort of like slightly cozy, like I want a fry up way. But I've been too scared to drink enough that I might put myself in a position where I have an awful migraine, or I'm being sick, or I'm like, or I have awful, mm-hmm. awful anxiety. So I've definitely been more conscious of drinking less on nights out and things. And I really feel like it's improved my experience of those things, because I'm not the person who's got to be like carried home, or is, yeah, ruins your whole day or whatever, which is totally fine if you are that person sometimes. And I have been that person in my early 20s, and it was hilarious and great sometimes, but I don't like that anymore. I can't, mentally, I can't cope with it because I get too much anxiety. And you can 100%, it's really, again, really taught me in the last few years that like having a couple of glasses of something is great as well. Like, that's really fun. You don't have to not drink or completely binge. Like, having a couple, and also just sort of like drinking to feel.
Drinking to
intuitive drinking. It's great. Like, you might be like, oh, I'm going to stop now, actually, because I'm just not really enjoying this. Or equally, you might have had plans to not drink, but then be like, I would quite like a glass of wine, actually. And like, it's okay to sort of just like trust your sort of instincts and see how you feel. And yeah, it doesn't have to be an all or nothing situation.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But then, and then in, within the context of running, I hate to say that.
Oh no, please, yes, let's remember why we're here.
But in the context of running, I think it's just, it is just where, particularly when it's sunny, the big thing you need to be concerned about the following day after you've been on it the night before is dehydration. And I think one of the kind of the weird realizations that I've had over the past few years is that being dehydrated, it isn't just a case of needing to, you know, it's not just, the water isn't just going in your face and out your pee.
Mm.
You know, the water, when you're drinking that water, when you're rehydrating.
I'm getting human centipede energy here.
I know, I'm so sorry. But I feel that. It's more to do with the fact that, you know, you're much more prone to getting an injury if you're dehydrated, because your entire body, essentially your entire body, is more brittle, right? So
like a sponge. Like do you remember the SpongeBob? This is not going to be something that culturally resonates for you, but for anyone listening, SpongeBob's parents, because you know he was a sponge.
Yes, aware of that.
His parents were sponges, but they were like old sponges, so they were like crusty and kind of, they look like sort of dried biscuits. That's what I'm imagining bones looking like.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Well, no, probably not that. But yeah, exactly that. So
Mr. and Mrs.
I know that you are
square pants.
Mr. and Mrs. Square. Yeah. Unless it was Mr. and Mrs. something. But yeah. But yeah, you are more likely to like pull a muscle because everything is just, yeah, is old Mr. and Mrs. SpongeBob SquarePants. So it's a really good thing to do, obviously, if you're drinking the night before in any sort of quantity, is to drink water while you're drinking booze. And then the following day before you go for that run, make sure you're hydrating properly before you go for a run and during that run and then after that run. So particularly if you're having like even a short run, particularly if it's sunny, take some water with you, or even better, take some electrolytes in that water, because you will have lost everything the night before with being hugely dehydrated because of booze.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure that you've got enough salt going in as much as anything else. Yeah. So it's kind of...
Oh, I tell you what, I was on the hen do I was on the other weekend, as much as it was quite boozy, it wasn't like mega actually. It was like, it was pretty chill, but it was like, we did have several Aperol spritzes.
Oh,
it was dreams. But sorry, this is not completely derailing. This was talking about the rehydration thing. I was with a nutritionist. The sister-in-law is a nutritionist. And she was like, right, okay, everybody, I'm making sure everybody has those sort of like rehydration granules.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I can't remember what they're called. But you know what I mean? The things that you...
Yes, I know.
Yeah, I think you're probably supposed to take them if you've had horrible diarrhea or something. yeah. And we all had to drink a glass of that
sort of slightly funny salty water, like similar to how you'd have in a hydration vest. And I felt like a million bucks the next day.
I didn't
have a hangover at all. I was absolutely fine. I drank less the day before and felt slightly hungover when we woke up on the Saturday. And then when I woke up on the Sunday morning, having had the special granules, I was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Fresh as a daisy. Though well, also we did start early, finish early on the Saturday, which is the other top tip of my life.
Oh, top tip.
Love top tip. Start early, finish early.
Yes, that is so good. Well, because we've talked about this before, didn't we? I think it was a time when we had someone lovely on from Precision Hydration. And one of my questions was, is Precision Hydration a hangover cure? And they very nicely said, no, no, we are not marketing this as a hangover cure. It is definitely not a hangover cure. You know, this is all to do with your electrolytes. It's all this and the other, da, 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 and it's running and it's athletics and it's, you know, whatever. So all of that is true. However, you need to rehydrate, and actually something like Precision Hydration can be extremely useful in ensuring that you don't get injured and that you don't feel like shit when you go for that run, if you're going for a run the day after. Obviously, the other thing to do, like we've just been talking about, if you are like completely on the lash the night before, then just nudge your run to the day after.
Yeah,
don't do it. Because I've done that, and I've done it recently, actually. I did that long run. Well, I say long run. I did 6 miles, whenever it was. It was coronation weekend.
Oh, the Collybobs.
And I had got so drunk the night before, but I knew that I couldn't run for whatever reason on the bank holiday Monday. So me being me was like, right, self-flagellate, go
you
for that run this morning.
You had a bad time, didn't you?
And it wasn't good. Very, very bad. Yeah, very bad. Very, very bad. Yes. Don't do that. Don't do an Esther is the thing.
Do a me and tuck do yourself up in bed, get a delivery.
Be kind. Be kind.
Always be kind.
Yeah. Oh, I've got, because we're coming towards the end, I think. And
yes.
Firstly, I didn't know if there were any other emails we needed to talk about.
There was one that led us on to something that we said that we might talk about earlier. Oh, and we have to talk about juggling, Esther, because we said we'd talk about juggling.
Yes, well, the juggling thing, it was only because I mentioned it to Holly just before we started, and I was just going to talk about it just in the context of this being half term. And actually, I think that feeds into the booze as well.
Yeah.
Because everything goes arse about tit if you've got kids and it's school holidays and you're trying to deal with all those things. So all your kind of, all those things that you're having to cope with, that there might be some, you know, extra social engagements. There's definitely more childcare. There's more kind of, yeah, just general juggling. Mm. It's like, how do you fit all this stuff in and go for your run and do this, that and the other? So this, it felt really weird today because the kids are not at school. They have gone to like a holiday club thing, but it was later on in the morning that they were going. But I still got up at 6:30 to go to my boot camp this morning, which felt quite weird.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing that a lot less recently. So that was quite a hard, it was quite hard, hard to get out of bed.
I really love that you do that in person though. Like, I'm slightly jealous of you in a weird way, even though getting up at 6:30, not the life for me.
Sucks,
I can see that the appeal of like when you're, I love being outside at like 7:00 in the morning.
Oh my God. It was really, really good. It was really good, but it did make me think, and this is one of the reasons why I want to talk about it, was it just made me think about that kind of the juggling that everyone does, whether they've got kids or they've not got kids, just the whole kind of, you know, work, life, stuff, drinking, not drinking, things, whatever, the stuff that you've got that you're having to kind of cope with. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the only way, in a very Esther way, that I've got a handle on it or have been able to cope with it and those sorts of things is to really sort of check in with my diary like every week. And so I sort of, so at the beginning of this week, I could see it's going to be really, really hard to do any sort of training because we're going away on Thursday as well. So it's like,
camping, famously Esther's favourite thing.
Don't
everyone send her a message saying have a lovely time camping.
Oh God, it's going to be awful. But yeah, so that, which leads back to the fact that I think sleep is the most important thing.
Yeah, that's why you're not a big fan.
That's why camping doesn't. Yeah, that's why I'm not a big fan.
So it, yeah, it's just at the beginning, it's at the weekend. This weekend, I looked at my calendar. I knew it was going to be really, really hard to fit stuff in. And so what I do, and it may not work for everyone, is I just go through and I think, right, okay, well, actually, I've missed this early morning boot camp quite a lot recently, but I'm not going to this week because
I'm probably not going to have time to do it otherwise. Yeah, because I know training plans are kind of a different kettle of fish, but if you're just somebody who exercises, then like, mm-hmm. I think normalize missing a week sometimes, because like, yes, of course,
for sure.
You know, if you go to the same class every week, then sometimes you are going to not be able to go. That's absolutely fine. That's normal. Even the instructor sometimes can't go. It's fine. But yeah, also the thing of kind of like, it's also totally fine if you know that for your mental health or for other personal goals, you do want to exercise at another point in the week, then like, think of it as a lovely opportunity to do something you haven't done for a while or try something new.
Yeah. And I do, because I belong to Move GB, just, you know, it's one of those like class pass. It's like one of those things that you can kind of scroll through and pick and choose stuff. And I do really enjoy, I don't often go off the beaten track for, you know, what I've been doing for the last kind of couple of years or whatever. But when I do, that's when I do spin at YMCA.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to sort of pick and choose.
It is really nice.
Sort of slightly different things.
Oh, I'm sure everybody's waiting with bated breath, though they're going to be very disappointed. My box fit class.
Oh, how was it?
It got cancelled.
Oh,
I walked all the way there and they were like, oh, did you not get the email? It's been cancelled. I was really sad.
Just that evening or forevermore?
No, just that evening. She was ill, I think, the instructor. So I will try and go again, I promise. That might have been a bit of a blessing in disguise, because I signed up for something called BoxFit Basics. And I do think I need to learn the basics because I've never done it before. But when I then looked at the description of the class, it was a bit like, oh, this is a really good way to like get into exercising if you haven't really or you don't really. It's really good for maybe people who are older or and want like a good way to sort of like move but aren't necessarily looking for it. Basically sounded like it might be something that I would like to use as a bit of an excuse of an exercise class, but that probably wouldn't work me in quite the ways I needed to be. I don't think it wasn't looking like it would stack up to spin, basically, which
it's
literally
sort of like
makes me want to faint.
Yeah,
a bit more like that. So there is a different class that isn't basics, that's, you know, the full whack, that I might try and go to this week if I've got time. But yeah, hopefully I'll give everyone an update on what it's like to go boxing soon.
Oh, amazing. And I've got one more thing that I need to talk about, and we need to finish because we keep on wanging on for too long. But there was one thing that I was going to talk about, which was Vitality 10,000.
Oh my gosh, yeah,
September the 24th,
yeah.
Sunday the September the 24th, Vitality 10,000, which is happening in that London.
Mm-hmm.
And the big fat news is that there is going to be a women's running wave.
I'm so excited about this. I really feel like this is kind of our dreams come true. I don't want to pressure anybody into signing up, but if it goes well, it will be our dreams come true.
It will. It will. Let's pressure you into joining up.
It's going to be so great.
So I'm hoping, but that by the time this episode goes live, I hope, where there will be a link. If you go onto the Vitality 10,000 website, that if you go through to registration, there should be something very obvious that says that you can join a certain wave. So they do tend to have, so I ran it last year and I ran it in the Celebrate You wave, and that's definitely going ahead too this year. And you can also enter a wave by time. So you could, if you wanted to, you don't have to run with us. We want you to run with us, but you don't have to. But if you wanted to do a very speedy time, you can enter by time, because the thing about these waves, our wave is going to be right at the back.
Mm.
So our run, our 10K is definitely a run for your enjoyment and your time.
We're toying with This Is My Race as our sort of hashtag or whatever. Yes. Our little motto for the race. It's very much encouraging people to come and run regardless of time or anything like that. It's just, we just want to show how bloody great women runners are, really, is sort of our aim, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And we want as many of you guys to come as possible. We're obviously going to be there.
Yeah.
And we are, we're looking forward to, from last year, because I remember when I ran it last year, you start, or the kind of the runner's village is in Green Park. So it's right next to Buckingham Palace. And it's really easy to get to. It's really lovely, actually. And I tell you what's really, really wonderful about it is if you've not run the London Marathon, and or you don't really fancy the London Marathon, but you love the look of the London Marathon.
Yeah, this is a bit of me.
Okay, last mile, the same.
Oh,
you're
yes.
running up the mall.
Oh, please.
It's amazing.
Then. It would be so lush if you all joined us and we ran up the mall together. What a dream.
What a dream. It'll be incredible. We're going to have an area in Green Park so we can all gather there beforehand and have hugs.
I think,
and
yeah,
then all gather there afterwards
the
for more hugs.
About. I'm really excited about running it, obviously, but let's be honest. I'm mainly excited about the fact that it's going to be a really great chance for us to all get together because, yeah, we're going to have a little space, aren't we, that's going to be for us all. I mean, it is going to be lots of pod squad related stuff.
Pod squad?
Oh, sorry, I've accidentally coined
a
new
that's what I've got.
Term then. That, yeah, that's what Esther's going to physio for. yeah. There's obviously going to be lots and lots of pod squad stuff happening, but it's open to anybody. You know, if you know anybody who doesn't listen to the pod, but you think they'd enjoy joining, it's just women's running. It's just anybody who wants to run with us and, you know, reads the magazine or is relatively interested in running. So, but yes, there's going to be plenty of opportunity for pod squadders to meet up and chat. And I'm sure beforehand, encourage each other, meet friends, but also I'm sure there'll be a chance afterwards as well to have a traditional Savvy Bee or non-alcoholic equivalent.
Nicely put in there.
Thank you.
Nicely done. Yeah. Oh, I absolutely can't wait. I think it's going to be so lovely. It's going to be so joyous to see lots of familiar faces, I hope. It felt to us like a really, really lovely partnership because it's 10K, so it doesn't feel too momentous in terms of distance or training, particularly over the summer. And it's over a weekend. It's London, which, you know, whether you love it or you hate it, is kind of easy for a lot of us in the UK to get to, at least.
We
thought it would just be, I mean, we're desperate to see everyone from the pod squad again. We're desperate to meet as many of you as possible. And we want loads of us there, loads of us. It would be such good fun to kind of take over Vitality 10,000.
Basically, that was our idea. We were just like, we could encourage all of us, you know, we could just be like, let's all run it. But the idea of having a wave just made us really excited because we want to make everybody intimidated by what an amazing friendship group we are.
It's true. I do. We do. Yeah,
I'm so excited. Yeah. For those of you who were with us in Paris, like you know what it felt like. And for those who weren't, like the feeling of racing with, I mean, I'm sure plenty of people do this if you're part of a virtual run club or a real run club, but I'm not. And so running with the pod squad and running with a bunch of women who we all had that support and encouragement and also just like people to celebrate with afterwards and stuff. It was a whole different experience to previous races that I'd done on my own or like with a friend or something. Like having a whole group was just so incredible. And there was no like, you know, pressure, and there won't be at this event either. Like we very much
none.
Yeah. The idea is this is your race. You run at the pace that you want to. Like if that's super speedy, we will support and love you. If that's super slow and you are the last person to cross the finish line, then we will love and support you. It is absolutely open to all. And it's going to be the best.
It is going to be the best. And actually, that's a really good point, because when I ran it, I was in the Celebrate You wave. It was right at the back. It was the last wave to go. And I got a PB.
There we go. So don't get put off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One thing did want to ask Esther that maybe we need to ask Vitality 10,000 is, I wondered if there'd be any pod squadders or other people who we love that would already have a place, because it is quite a popular popular race for you lot. Like, you love a 10K, we've discovered, and it's a very popular one. So I was wondering whether there might be an opportunity for people to still run in the wave, even if they've signed up already.
It's a very good question. It's almost as if we scripted it, which we really, haven't.
I love when things like this happen.
Yes, if you have already signed up, there will be an opportunity to, if you like, sort of nudge into our wave. But I don't know the logistics of that yet. But from what I've just had a conversation just this morning about it, and I know that that's something that we will be able to do. It might mean sort of changing your number, but they're so happy about doing that. They're so easy to do that.
Okay.
So you can, I think that's a really easy kind of conversation to have. Don't worry about it right now. It's a few months away. And when I know more about that, I'll be able to say it in the next podcast probably. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. But basically, never fear, right? If you've already signed up, you won't be excluded from anything. You'll still very much be able to join us and the pod squad and be part of the wave.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Absolutely. And even if you completely forget and turn up on the day and you're like, oh, crap, there's the women's running wave, you can still run with us. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fine. So usually those waves are that everything else that's not those, like, it's not, if it's not us and it's not Celebrate You, then you'll be by time. And so because we're at the back, it doesn't matter if you've decided that you can run it in whatever time. It doesn't matter. We're at the back, so you can come and run with us no matter what time you've put on your entry, sort of thing. So yeah, it's all good.
I'm literally going to cry thinking about it. I'm so excited, but I'm really nervous. I really hope that everybody wants to do it as much as we have suspected people might. So you know, not trying to blackmail you or anything, but sign up for it and we'll love you forever.
Yes, absolutely that. We will. It's true.
We will.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our brand new Pod Squad chat room too. For just £6 a month, you can listen to bonus podcasts as well. There are now 5 extra ones to listen to. Go to Patreon, that's patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The editor and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. Do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.